Welcome to Two Idiots and a Dog, Idiots Unleashed. Grim, what are you doing this week?
What do you mean?
We're recording. Are you still playing Baldur's Gate 3?
No. Yes.
Why are you even still playing that game?
It's got amazing characters, wonderful story, well-polished, no microtransactions.
Who plays video games for the story? It's just about killing people.
That is not true. We will not discuss my murder hobo character.
Anyways, I'm Zolgar.
I'm Grim, and Kaiju is right here for once, curled up next to me, being all adorable.
Probably because you left your door open this time.
Yeah, I do that once in a while.
So, just a quick warning, this is an uncensored podcast, so you may hear adult language or other content not suited for children, the workplace, or, frankly, human consumption.
I guess we should have a conversation about what we just kind of sort of talked about.
That sounds like some idiot idea.
Well, I have good news for you. It was an idiot idea. Your idiot idea.
Why do they let me make decisions?
Because I'm too fucking lazy to.
Tell me about it.
And Kaiju does not have thumbs.
If Kaiju chose episodes, every week would be ball, treat, ball, treat.
Nap.
Belly rub.
Treat. Belly rub. Nap. So, in case you didn't figure it out, this week our topic is discussing storytelling in video games. Because, believe it or not, for some reason, our video games art/storytelling is still a point of contention in this, the year of our Lord, 2023.
Not my Lord, I didn't vote for him. Anyways, if you have an idea for a topic for us, please save us from making our own decisions anymore. You can let us know on our Discord or social media, but you can only vote in the topic poll on Discord.
Something, something, stand back. We were unleashed a long-ass time ago. For our sins.
Or is it for their sins that were forced upon them?
God, we are just...
What did you do to get us thrust upon you? Seriously. Which divine entity did you piss off?
Gods, help us all.
There is no God. I killed him. Ate his corpse.
Should at least use barbecue.
Nah.
Ugh. What's even the point then? So, back on topic.
I made a nice curry.
Nah. For a god, you want barbecue.
Anyway, god curry is pretty good.
Back on topic. Yeah, for some reason, this is still a debate. In case you couldn't figure it out from the way we're just not taking this as seriously as we probably should be, both of us are firmly in the, of course it's fucking storytelling, you idiots, camp.
Yeah. As much as I joke about it sometimes, video games are a very powerful medium for storytelling. And that's actually one of the reasons I don't play a lot of them anymore, because I don't have the focus or attention span required for the stories these days. I lose track of what's going on, and then I just kind of wander off.
Huh? What? What were we doing?
I think we're recording an episode.
What was the topic again?
Why Grim is a big fat stupid head.
I mean, that just boils down to nature versus nurture. I mean, really.
I don't think we're smart enough to have that discussion.
I'm not sure we're smart enough to have this discussion.
At least not tonight.
In case you're wondering, no, neither of us has been drinking. We're just very tired.
So, video games as storytelling.
Yeah, okay, we've had some stinkers. Don't get me wrong.
Well, and let's roll back for a second here. Part of the reason there is still so much of a debate as to whether or not video games are art or are storytelling, especially in terms of storytelling, is a lot of older games either had no story at all, or the story was basically here is a small chunk of story, and then, you know, you're just running through levels killing things.
Your story was the little booklet that came with it, and it was like two of pages in that little booklet that was just like, this is Bob. Bob is your hero. This is Penny. Penny was kidnapped by the bad guy. Go get her back.
Yeah, pretty much. The original Sonic the Hedgehog games did not have much of a story. Even more so, you go back even further than that, games like Pac-Man.
What's a story? That said, one of these days, we need to do an episode that does a really in-depth, deep dive into the lore regarding Pong, because it's really quite fascinating when you juxtapose.
I will hurt you. But also, we still, to this day, see a lot of games released that don't necessarily have much story to them.
And that's fine. Sometimes you just want to click button and go.
Yeah. First of all, you got all the sports games, and, you know, the story in that is, hey, look at this. You're playing sports ball. Yay, sports ball. And then same with most of the racing games. Story is, hey, look at this. You're racing. Yay, racing.
I mean, it used to be Call of Duty had a decent story way back, and it had characters you gave a shit about, and not really anymore. Like,
now it's, hey, yay, you're in a big battle zone with a whole bunch of other people, and you're killing people. Yay, killing people.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's the ones that even bother to have a single-player campaign, there's some story there, but it's not good. Certainly not on par with, like, Modern Warfare 1 and Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah. Many modern games don't have a lot of story, but there are a lot of modern games that do really have good, strong stories. I mean, you look at the Mass Effect series. I realize that's not exactly modern, but...
Okay. Mass Effect. Dragon Age, yes. Dragon Age has its faults, but it's still got story, characterizations, etc.
The entire Elder Scrolls series.
Entire Elder Scrolls series. Yeah, some of those plots are like, really? But there's still story there. There's a world. There's characterizations.
And those are a game where there is so much side story, so much lore and information you can get that has nothing to do with the fact that, oh, you're somebody who eats dragons' souls and is trying to kill dragons to save the world or some shit.
Yeah, I mean, Skyrim had multiple major stories contained within it. I mean, look at all the DLC stories. They were all self-contained stories that still kind of sort of built off of the main story, but they were still their own contained stories. And one can argue about paid DLC and story and everything, but it's still adding story to the game.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't have a problem with paid DLC adding story. As long as it is adding story and not like, okay, now you have to pay to finish the story.
Yeah. I hate when games are like, the true ending is in this DLC. Looking at you, Dragon Age.
Because when you're talking about paid DLC that adds more story, like, say, Skyrim or Fallout 4 or things like that, that's really no different than the old expansions, you know, like StarCraft having Brood War and things like that, yeah. Where... it's an expansion that you don't have to go buy a physical disc, because what's a physical disc?
Admittedly, that type of DLC is becoming rarer, and I think the opposite should be true. We should be seeing more of that. Like, if you're going to release DLC for something, give us something. Not just, here's three armors and a box of Lucky Charms or whatever.
Yeah.
That's a digital box of Lucky Charms, by the way. You don't actually get a box of Lucky Charms to, like, eat. It's just digital Lucky Charm, so basically nothing.
Yeah, and I mean, don't get me wrong. I am happy to occasionally pay for a really cool skin in a video game I like, but if I am buying a $60, $70, probably pretty soon $80 AAA title, I don't want to immediately be beset with, oh, hey, you want to look cool? Here, give us another $20.
Yeah, give us $20 for an armor set for one character class in our game.
I mean, I'll drop $20 on a cool armor set in Path of Exile, but...
looking at you, Diablo 4.
anyways.
But that's another episode entirely. Storytelling in video games used to be just goofy, just absolutely just like pants on head goofy. But that's because they weren't taken very seriously for a long time, even by the people that made them. And I don't mean that in a they weren't made with love. I mean, they were like, this is a, we're making a silly game.
We're making kids stuff,
basically. It took a while for the medium to grow, evolve, and mature. And with that came a desire for more detailed and in-depth stories, more detailed and in-depth characters, actual world building and lore. And this is an important distinction. Lore and storytelling are two different things. Lore builds your world out, gives you your characters, gives you your context for the story that takes place in that world. Some of these games, some of these franchises, have story and lore that is rich and detailed and has been built upon over decades.
Honestly, all the issues we have with Activision Blizzard aside, the Diablo franchise.
Honestly, until this latest installment, the story was one of the things that kept me coming back.
Yeah, it has a story. And I mean, dear God, the amount of lore that is baked into that. Even the original, which there wasn't much story in the original.
No, but then they took 2 and 3 and built on it.
Yeah, and they built so much lore for the world of Sanctuary.
I mean, 2 turned the protagonist of 1 into the antagonist. 3 named them and built on it. Like, that's just, it was good. And then 4, I guess they just forgot their own lore or didn't care or whatever. The fact of the matter is, I'm starting to think everybody who actually could write has left Blizzard by this point, because we're seeing it across all of their properties now that the writing is just not good anymore, which is unfortunate because, like I said, they did have some really good stuff going on for a very long time. Unfortunately, when a long-standing franchise like that goes downhill like that, all it does is hurt the medium. Because a lot of the detractors will look at that and go, well, look at this latest installment. It's crap. And we all have to be like, well, it's not actually just limited to these franchises. There's lots of franchises that, yeah. So
we see that in all media. I mean, how many people, if you're talking about comic books, will go, oh, well, all comic books do is they recycle the same storyline over and over again. Nobody ever stays dead, blah, blah, blah. Because their entire exposure to comic books is Marvel and DC. Or how many people bitch and moan about modern movies? There's nothing original. There's nothing new. Because that's what's big. The Hollywood blockbusters are either superhero movies or remakes or 20-year later sequels. People have a tendency to judge entire sections of media based upon the biggest names in it.
There are so many of these franchises that have risen and fallen, but there's also some that are practically titans of storytelling and lore. The problem is, there are a lot of these franchises that will do things like kind of make you work for it a little bit. And I actually like that, but there's a lot of people that are turned off by that. You know, oh, you want to know the story? Well, you have to actually like piece it together. We're not just going to hand it to you. Prime example is From Software games, Dark Souls, etc. They tend to mostly feed you the story through environmental storytelling, a very little dialogue, and mostly item descriptions. And they'll tell you a little story about, you know, you pick up a sword from a boss or something and read the description, and it'll tell you, you know, a little bit about this, how this was actually a tragic figure and making your victory kind of a little bittersweet. But at the same time, you have relieved this tragic figure of their suffering by putting them down, type of thing. That's especially common in their Dark Souls franchise, by the way. But there are also a lot of other franchises that will just straight up feed you tons of story. And I mean tons of story.
How many JRPGs are so heavily loaded down with story that sometimes it feels like you may as well be reading a novel instead of playing a video game?
Yeah, and that's not always a bad thing, but sometimes it can be. As with most things, balance seems to be the key. You know, find that happy medium. And what that happy medium is for you personally is going to vary. So, you know, find the games that you like and stick with them. Final Fantasy, for a very long time, was incredibly story-rich and story-driven and had tremendous characterizations. That has really kind of not been the case for a while, unfortunately. This is one of those franchises that has just kind of left me behind. It's still got its fans, and I wish them the best, but I think the last three main titles, not counting 14, which is an MMO, have not been for me. And then you've got a game that just came out that we already referenced in the opening, Baldur's Gate 3. Traditional Western RPG, inventory management, characters, management, dialogue trees, the works, right? But the level of characterization and storytelling so far has been phenomenal. Phenomenal enough that I keep making new characters to go back and try other stuff instead of actually finishing the story once through.
I should pick it up eventually.
You should, although I have no idea when you'd play it. I like stories. I myself am a storyteller. I do writing that hopefully one day I'll get something in a state where I could like put it out there. I GM tabletop RPGs. That's communal storytelling. And as the GM, you're creating the main plot that's driving these characters. Now, the buy-in is the player characters need to be invested in that story. And that's going to be a cooperative effort from player and GM. But I like stories.
I like turtles. What
the fuck is wrong with you? The fuck is wrong with you?
We do not have time for that.
So I am one of those players that will play a game, and I'll stick with that game, even if the gameplay isn't that fun, if the story is good. Mass Effect is a great example. Mass Effect 1 was a little rough. It was definitely a product of its time. But the story was really engaging.
I'm actually kind of the opposite. I do really enjoy a good story in a game, but for me personally, the gameplay has to engage me as well, because if I don't want to keep playing the game, then trying to get the story becomes a chore for me.
Again, balance. And what that balance is going to vary from person to person. I mean, just a classic example is JRPGs. The stories in a lot of JRPGs are just bonkers. I mean, you'll go from like,
"All right, lad, I need you to go fetch milk from town,"
to "We're killing God" in one game. That is a journey.
And a lot of the JRPGs specifically also end up requiring you to do a lot of grinding out mindless combat to get powerful enough to go kill God, with no story in that time you're spent grinding.
Yeah, they've gotten better. As, again, video game development has grown and matured. But it's still kind of common in the genre. I will take just a brief moment here to point out there is a bit of controversy around calling it a genre, or rather calling the genre JRPG. That's the term I grew up with. That's the term I'm familiar with. That's the term I use. Apparently some people used it derogatorily in the past. Those people are fucking morons. JRPGs, RPGs in general, honestly, Western or Japanese, Korean, etc. Because KRPGs are an entirely different beast that I don't have the mental energy to get into right now. They exist, and they are a wild ride. But regardless of the region that the game is made in, or the style the game is modeled after, because there have actually been Western-style RPGs made in the East and Asian-style, the Japanese-style, the Korean-style RPGs that have been made in the West, which is why I think of them more as genre than like a comment on the region, personally, but I'm not from those regions, so it's not like I'm the authority. But that said, you know, they're solid games usually. They have great story. Both of them have great story. RPGs in general have typically is where you're going to find your most story because it's right there in the name, role-playing game. You can't play your role if there isn't a story for you to riff off of. But you can find good solid story in some very surprising places. Up until the final few installments, Halo had a pretty solid story going for it. I'm not sure what they did with 4 and 5. And I've heard mixed things about Infinite, but I haven't played Infinite, so I can't comment. And those are just shooters. You don't expect a solid, good story from a shooter. Which is unfortunate, because there are some shooters that have amazing stories.
Though, really, shooter and story was only kind of tied together for a very short time. Because you think back on the old shooters like Doom and Duke Nukem, and yeah, those had a story, but they were the bare minimum story of, oh, hey, there's a whole bunch of enemies, you need to kill them to save the world, or whatever.
And then, the funniest thing happened in 2016. They released a new game called Doom.
Though, actually, you know when shooters and story became, like, started going together, right?
Unreal?
Where it really happened was 1998. This little game called Half-Life.
Unreal walked so Half-Life could run. I'm going to say that right now.
That's like the argument between Doom and Wolfenstein being the father of the genre of first-person shooters. Because without one, you don't have the other.
Yeah.
But yeah, I get what you're saying.
There are now a lot of shooters that have great story, and a lot of shooters that have crappy story.
And a lot of shooters that have no story at all.
Story draws you in, provided, of course, you can find a franchise that has your balance. Too much story, like you said, for you, you lose the plot, you lose focus, you're no longer in the game. I will tolerate a whole lot of mechanical sins for a really good story.
There's something I think that we should probably mention here. And that is that one of the places you can find some really good stories in unexpected types of games, you know, the type of games that you wouldn't necessarily expect to have a lot of story these days, like a first-person shooter or something, indie games.
Yeah, there's a lot of indie games out there with some really compelling stories. And sometimes because they're indie games, the ability to convey that story is limited.
Yeah.
A lot of these indie titles are limited by the fact that they're usually like small, like 1 to 5 man teams or 10 man teams or whatever. And they crank this together. And so the graphics aren't going to be mind blowing. A lot of pixel art in the indie circles because that's what you can get to work easily. And there's nothing wrong with that, to be clear.
I love some good pixel art.
Some of the best indie games I've played were pixel art games. Like, just don't at all think that we're trying to take crap on pixel art games here. But they have some deep, compelling, and honestly, fucked up stories. Binding of Isaac is fucked up once you actually, like, start digging into it. And I don't just mean the unnerving level and character designs. I mean the story is fucked up. I'm not going to get into it. That story is too dark for us.
Never played it.
It is incredibly fucked up.
That's actually another one that the art style I just can't get past.
Yeah, it's fine. It's really good. You know, there's so many good indie games out there with solid stories. And a lot of established studios with solid stories. And then there's also a whole lot of in-betweeners. You want to know what, for me, is the ultimate proof in the pudding, so to speak, of video games as a medium for storytelling.
What was that?
the visual novel genre.
Now, there is a certain argument as to whether or not a visual novel qualifies as a game.
To that argument, I say, fuck off. Yes, they're games. Minimal gameplay does not preclude it from being a game.
And here's a fun little fact. Under certain definitions, it's actually arguable that MMORPGs aren't actually games. But that's an entirely different argument.
I mean, yeah. I mean, honestly, anymore, they're just an engine for microtransactions. Oop, did I say that out loud?
Now, a good visual novel, even though I just said that I'm not somebody who will often play a game that doesn't have great gameplay if it's got a good story, I will occasionally get into a good visual novel. Very occasionally, because most of them don't actually grab my interest. But yeah, a visual novel can be an amazing venue for storytelling because it's... how do I put it? There are some visual novels that they do tell a really compelling story. And yeah, they oftentimes have little to no what you would consider gameplay. You know, there are a lot that are limited puzzle games. There are a lot that have, like, choices you can make that will influence the game. But there are also some that it's more of just a choose-your-own-adventure novel with graphics.
And that's fine.
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just, you know, it's like there's a wide range in the visual novel genre.
And then you've got those that completely subvert the genre on purpose. Doki Doki Literature Club.
I know nothing of it.
It, on the surface, looks like your standard dating sim visual novel, and then it blindsides you out of left field with some of the most fucked up shit you'd never imagine. It's actually really creative and cool. Good story in gaming is not only possible, there are a lot of games that have built their empire on it. Again, RPGs in general, like, you can't play a role in the game if there's no story to have a role in, you know? That doesn't mean you can't have RPGs with almost no story. I've seen it. But traditionally speaking, the genre has had more story for players to riff off of and enjoy and immerse themselves in. This lingering doubt as to the validity of storytelling in video games, I'm not sure where it keeps coming from, because I swear we've had this argument at least, once every decade since the 90s?
Well, I am sure you roll back like 80 years ago, maybe pushing 90, and there were probably people trying to argue whether or not movies were art.
Yeah, probably. I think I might have something here, and maybe this is just my exhausted, tired, idiot brain misfiring.
Probably is.
So, art, at its core, is about expression and the evoking of emotion. Feeding the soul, whether it's the artist's soul or the person viewing the art.
Or both.
Or both. ¿Por qué no los dos? If you are consuming a piece of media, and it doesn't matter what kind of media, but since this is the theme of the episode, we'll focus on video games. So if you're playing a video game and that video game evokes an emotional response from you that was on purpose, that's kind of a poor caveat with video games. Yeah, if the emotion it evokes is rage because the game's mechanics are bullshit, I don't think that's intentional usually.
Unless it's a FromSoft game.
It's less rage and more just soul-crushing despair.
No, it's rage. I hear you playing Souls-likes.
Yeah, well, your face.
There are reasons I don't play Souls-likes.
Because you little bitch. Real quick, that is 110% a joke. Genres are not for everyone. Game styles are not for everyone. Play the games you enjoy. Fuck the haters.
But don't actually fuck them.
Because they don't deserve it. Love yourself. So if you're playing a video game and it evokes an emotional response that is very clearly a deliberate part of the video game experience you are playing, congratulations! It's art. That's it. That's all it takes.
And especially when you're talking, the story evokes that emotional response. Because if the gameplay evokes an emotional response, then it's probably frustration or anger or rage or joy at the fact that you finally beat that fucking boss you've been trying to beat for 6 weeks. But when it comes from the story, that's a different matter.
To be fair, sometimes the story can make those game mechanics evoke those responses. There have been plenty of games that have kind of pulled a fast one on you where you find out that the mechanic you've been using for the entire game has actually been fucking you or other people over this whole time, inverting and subverting everything that you have done up until that revelation. But the story is what provides that context and is what's really going to cause that emotional reaction once the reveal happens. Now, some of the times those twists are dumb. Looking at you, Final Fantasy VIII. Yeah, no, it turns out the super powerful thing we use for our magic causes long-term memory loss? And we were all childhood friends. Wait, what?
I still hate that game.
See, I love the game up until that point. It's my favorite Final Fantasy until that point. Because up until then, the story is great. They just hired new writers or what for the second half?
Between that and the fact that that Final Fantasy game is the Final Fantasy game that punishes you for playing it like a Final Fantasy game.
This is true. Without telling you that, by the way.
That, by the way, is, in my opinion, one of the biggest sins a video game can commit. If it's, especially if it's part of an established franchise, but even if it's from an established genre, if it will actively punish you for playing the game the way you expect you should play the game from prior experience, there is something wrong with that game.
I mean, that's one of the reasons why I struggle so much with Sekiro. It was deliberately designed to fuck with Souls-like players.
And it is one thing if they say that up front. If, you know, they do something to make it very clear from the get-go that this is not played that way. If Final Fantasy VIII from the very beginning had done something to say, maybe don't grind for lots of levels, then yeah, I could maybe give it a pass.
On the flip side, there's Undertale, which at no point tells you you can actually play the entire game without killing a single enemy. And so almost everybody, the first playthrough, whether they want to or not, they kill their way through at least the first part of the game until they realize, oh, hey, wait a minute, I can do other stuff. And then it pulls the second rug out from under you, where it reveals that there are some characters that will remember what you did, even if you load a previous save or start over.
Which is honestly a little bit fucked up.
Yeah, but that was the point.
Yeah.
Toby Fox made that game to fuck with us, and it worked. But that reveal and stuff that happens very early in the game, like right past what I would call the tutorial. And also the game hints very early on that there are fucked up undertones to the whole game. One of your earliest interactions is another bait and switch where they're just like, oh yeah, no, I'm your friend. I'm here to help you. Sucker. Only the strong survive down here. Type of thing, you know? But again, it's those story elements that create context for everything. I mean, for example, if you play through a game like that, where there are characters that can remember previous save states, even though the game world has been reverted, and you kill a character, if the story doesn't exist to make you care, you're not going to care that you killed that character. You're not going to care that you killed that character enough to reload an earlier save. And you're definitely not going to care that, oh no, there are some characters that remember that you fucking murdered her. The story creates those links. The story is what engages you with those characters and characterizations and makes you care enough to revert the save and then actually feel something when other characters mention what you did and the game reveals things like, yeah, no, we remember what you did in a past save file. Ultimately, storytelling in video games is, I mean, if this was a court of law, we'd have a stack of evidence to the ceiling by this point. The video games have been around long enough that we have so many examples now of solid storytelling in video games, solid characterizations in video games. I mean, I'm going to drop one more franchise here. Life is Strange. It's not got super deep gameplay. It's mostly conversations and has a time rewinding mechanic, but that time rewinding mechanic has certain limitations and it all plays into the plot and everything. And there are moments in the story. The end of one of the episodes of the original Life is Strange hit me so hard that I literally made incoherent noises and like slightly pawed at my monitor because what just happened?
I want to know. Never played it.
Yeah, I don't think you would enjoy it, honestly. I was surprised that I enjoyed it. There are so many elements in video games when it comes to storytelling and characterization. There's so many different ways to tell a story in a video game, which is another thing everybody should consider. I've already mentioned some of them. You know, there's the subtle, quiet storytelling, you know, environmental storytelling, item descriptions, the FromSoft method. There's straight up feeding you the story up front. There's kind of the amalgamation where you get the story up front, but it turns out you're not getting the whole story unless you start digging. And there's so many different delivery methods within there that, you know, get you wrapped up in the story. So I guess what I'm just trying to rambly say here with varying levels of coherence.
What's coherence?
Wouldn't know. Never heard of her. Storytelling in video games should not be a debate. At this point, I think it's fairly definitive. Academic, even. Video games are a great medium for telling a story because they are interactive and can immerse you in that story. But by that same token, not all games need to have that deep, rich story.
That's the thing with video games versus other forms of entertainment media. You know, with a movie. If you go to a movie and there's no story in the movie,
you can kind of still have a good time. You know, brain candy movies exist. But
even the brain candy movies, they need at least some story. I cannot think of a movie that doesn't suck that does not have at least a little bit of a story.
Yeah. If your book doesn't tell you a story, it's either nonfiction or a bad book.
And even a lot of nonfiction tells a story.
I mean, a history textbook is literally the story of our planet.
Yeah. And honestly, the best way to convey history is with an engaging story.
That's why World War II is so popular. I mean, it's one of the few relatively clear-cut moments in history where we can form the narrative good versus evil, ha ha, even though that is absolutely not what actually happened. That's a whole other thing, honestly. And some of the best music out there tells a story. I mean, I'm not a big fan of country music, but the few country songs I enjoy are ones that tell stories. One of the ones that still sticks with me is the Dixie Chicks' Goodbye Earl.
There are lots of songs that do tell really good stories. Speaking of World War II, look at Sabaton.
Yep, exactly.
And speaking to the point that the best way to teach history is with an engaging story, I've learned more about World War II from Sabaton than any other source. Well, not directly from Sabaton, but from hearing their song and then looking up what it was about.
Yeah, for me, it was Medal of Honor, Call of Duty, and I mean, we're talking the old school Call of Duty and Medal of Honor games. You know, back when there was a new World War II shooter out like every week. Remember those days? A lot of what I learned was sparked by playing those games, and then I went and would actually like look up stuff and just be like, oh, wow. Okay, so this was factual and this was made up for the game. And wait, that weapon actually existed? What? Why?
Don't forget, of course, that the Civilization franchise teaches us some very important pieces of history, like the fact that Gandhi was a warmonger.
Obsessed with splitting the atom. Nuclear domination. Games are an engaging and immersive way to tell these stories, which makes them ripe for a genre, medium, what have you, to tell these stories in the first place, because it puts you there. It engages with you. You are actively participating in the story. It's kind of like doing an impromptu little play in history class or English class or whatever, where you're all reading off the different characters' lines, only it's optional and thus more rewarding.
That actually does bring up something. I find it odd we don't have more video games meant to teach elements of history than we do. Yeah, they exist, but they're not as common. One I used to play all the time was the Journeyman Project.
Mm-hmm. Journeyman Project Turbo is the one that I played. Yeah, I remember that. That game was weird, but it did have historical elements in it. The entire Carmen Sandiego franchise.
Yeah, which was meant to teach geography, then later history with the Where in Time is Carmen Sandiego.
Yep. I mean, even Mario had a history geography game at one point. I think part of it is we had such an influx of educational games for a while there that the whole genre is kind of just like looked down on. And so the big names don't do anything with it anymore, because a lot of people, they think educational games, they think like number crunchers and stuff like that, which when they were around, I mean, we're talking the days of the floppy disk, they were good, but they're not. They weren't games by the standard that we have become accustomed.
Yeah.
But there is one that will never die. Keeps coming back. Again and again. Immortal. Unkillable.
What's that one?
Oregon Trail. How many fucking versions of that we got now?
And there's always new ones.
Yep.
There's even a tabletop game.
That does not surprise me at all. There's even a zombie version.
Oregon Trail.
Yep. That's a real thing. So I guess, in closing, video games are a fantastic way to tell a story because it drags you in, it immerses you, and it has you participating in that story. And sometimes it's just you controlling existing characters, but my favorite are the ones that let you put your own character into the story. And ultimately, how much story versus gameplay you need is going to come down to you as an individual. Find your balance. Find what makes you happy.
And if what makes you happy is running in circles, causing pixels on your screen to explode, then go play Vampire Survivors.
Exactly. Go play Vampire Survivors. Well, I think that's it for this week.
If you like what we do, please give us a like, follow, rating, and all of that nonsense on your favorite podcatcher.
You can also support us on Patreon for special bonus content and episodes a week early, or tip us on Ko-fi. You can find those and our social media platforms and Discord server in the show notes.
Also, be sure to give our friends some love.
There you are.
Graham, what the fuck is wrong with you this time?
Nothing, my good sir. You see, it is just, I am now a patron of the arts.
Okay, the fuck is he on this time?
I have supported a noble artiste in her stalwart pursuits. Surely you wish to do the same, Quite.
The fuck are you on about this time?
Surely, if you enjoy art and support the arts, you will reach out to a creative yourself and support their endeavors. Yes, I heartily recommend Tundra Katie Bean.
So, wait, you mean the artist who made our logo?
Indeed.
Grim, I already know I can support her on Ko-fi and Patreon under the name Tundra Katie Bean.
Then my work here is done. I shall now retire for an evening constitutional.
Which apparently for him means stagger into bed. Well, I guess he wasn't entirely wrong. Just crazy. you can, in fact, support the very same artist who made our logo on Ko-fi and Patreon. Once again, that was Tundra Katie Bean.
And her patrons get first crack at new art before public sale.
Well, lead with that next time, you dingbat.
Last but certainly not least, we want to give a quick shout out to all of our supporters on Patreon and Ko-fi, especially these idiots.
Random Warrior, Rain, and the perpetually banned Athen Mortis.
You know what you did.